إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد وديتم سؤال ميتي الله سبحانه وتعالى with the blessing and peace be upon the noble Prophet Muhammad, his household and companions altogether. Insha'Allah, this is going to be a continuation of our discussion on the Arkan of Salah, the pillar of Salah. We talked about the pillar of Al-Qiyam, that is praying standing. We talked about the pillar of At-Takbir, that is the zikr that we do in order to commence our prayer. We talked about the pillar of recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha. We also talked about the pillar of Ar-Rukur and raising of the head from Rukur. On the recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha, one of the brothers approached me last week concerning some things that are not yet clear. And as I mentioned, this is an avenue to discuss some of these things, because most people do not have places where they take the knowledge of the deen as supposed to be done. And that is the fact that we said the citation of Surah Al-Fatiha is a pillar. This is as far as an individual is concerned. If an individual is praying, or as far as the imam is concerned. As for those who are praying behind the imam, we said the scholars, they have different opinions on whether the citation of Surah Al-Fatiha is compulsory on them or not. The Hanafi school of thought, they have the opinion that if you are praying behind the imam, it is not compulsory on you to recite Surah Al-Fatiha. While the majority of the scholars, they are of the opinion that it is compulsory on you to recite Surah Al-Fatiha if the imam is reciting silently. However, if the imam is reciting aloud, you are not to recite. This is what majority of the scholars are upon. The Hanabila, according to one of their reports, likewise the Malikiya, they are of the opinion that once the imam is reciting aloud, you are not expected to recite. Yours is to listen. Likewise, the Shafi'i school of thought, they are of the opinion that you are supposed to recite when the imam is reciting. According to a report from them, does not really matter whether the imam is reciting or not, you ought to recite as well. If the imam recites aloud, you wait till he finishes the recitation, or if you get the opportunity to recite while his own recitation is on, it is compulsory on you to recite Surah Al-Fatiha as you are praying behind him. Whether the imam is reciting aloud or is reciting silently, some of these were mentioned in the last khutbah. As for those who believe that it is not compulsory on you to recite behind the imam, once the imam recites, that is sufficient for you. If you don't recite, your salah is intact, is valid. So they don't have much problem. For those who believe that it is compulsory on you to recite even when the imam is reciting, whether silently or aloud, this is where the issue comes. So let's assume somebody enters the masjid and the imam has finished his own Surah Al-Fatiha, the recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha. You, maybe the imam is about to finish the next surah that is reciting, and you enter the masjid, you make takbir, the standing is done, the takbir is done, then you commence your recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha. Before you finish yours, the imam has already gone to ruku. What is going to happen? A lot of scholars research that is gone. That is, you can go and meet the imam in ruku. You don't need to continue the recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha till you finish it, because you are supposed to recite it in standing position, and the imam is no longer in standing position. But those who say recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha is also compulsory on the ma'mum, that is the follower. So some of them said, you should go, that is gone, that is go and meet your imam in ruku. Some said, since you have started the recitation, you have to complete it. Even if the imam will precede you in some actions, you have to finish it. So after you have finished your recitation, because you have started the recitation before the imam goes to ruku, they say you have to finish it. This, wallahu a'lam, appears to be the strongest opinion of all the opinions. That since you have started recitation with the imam, that is, the imam is yet to finish his recitation, is yet to go to ruku, so you meet the imam in standing position, and you have also commenced your own recitation. So all that is expected from you is to also recite, according to those who believe that recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha behind the imam is compulsory. So you recite, you hasten, so to say, to finish your own recitation, then you go and meet the imam in ruku. It doesn't really matter whether the imam has risen from ruku, according to some of those who believe that recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha is compulsory behind the imam. This, however, is a favored opinion of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari and some other scholars. Though contrary to what majority of the scholars are upon, majority of the scholars are of the opinion that once the imam goes to ruku and you are yet to finish your own Surah Al-Fatiha, don't disturb yourself anymore. Go and meet the imam in ruku. But if one remembers the hadith, لا صلاة لمن لم يقرأ بفاتحة الكتاب, the one who does not recite Surah Al-Fatiha has no salah. So this will be a kind of disturbance to one in one's heart. And that's why I say it is better that one finishes it before one goes to meet the imam in ruku. However, the one who chooses the other opinion, this is not something that one will be asked on or will be issued upon. I think through this, the question has been answered. So I said earlier, we discussed the Surah Al-Fatiha, reciting it on individual is ruknu, is ruknu. Reciting it on the imam is ruknu. This is what is correct. As for the ma'mum, this is what the scholars have said concerning the recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha by the follower of the imam. Some said it's not compulsory, some said it is compulsory. when the imam is reciting aloud silently. Some said whether the imam is reciting silently or aloud, it is compulsory on him to recite. And this, wallahu alam, appears to be the strongest opinion. But all these are not big issues that will trouble ourselves much over. Now we talked about going to ruku after the section of Surah Al-Fatiha, and how to do ruku, this has been discussed. Likewise, raising of our head from ruku. After you have done ruku, the minimum ruku you can do, according to most scholars, is for you to be able to touch your knees. So if you are able to touch your knees, you are said to have done the minimum ruku. But the best ruku you can do is what we mentioned, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Wabish ibn Ma'bad radiallahu anhu, said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, kana idha raka'a sawwa dhahra. Whenever he did ruku, he was straightening his back. حتى لو صب عليه الماء لاستقر. So much so that if water were to be poured on his back, the water will remain on his back. Meaning he will stretch the back. And the way one stretches the back is for the head to be level with the back. The head will be level with the back. He will not bend his edge and he won't raise his edge. The edge and the back will be on equal level. This is difficult to do, particularly for the elderly people. But at least we make attempt to straighten our back as much as possible. I said the minimum ruku is for you to allow your arms to touch your knees. Enable your palms from touching your knees. So if this is achieved, according to most scholars, the minimum ruku is done. Then you raise your head from ruku, this is also a pillar. When you raise your head from ruku, you have to also stand erect. Stand erect, or you stand straight. You stand straight. Now some people, they don't stand straight when they raise their head from ruku. They don't stand straight. This, if the person doesn't stand to the extent that he can say this is a standing person, then that means he has not done what is called al-i'tidal. Al-i'tidal. Min al-ruku. He hasn't done it. Now some people, when they are in standing position, they bend a bit. They bend a bit. This is not something that is encouraged. It reduces the reward of their salah. It reduces the reward of their salah. They should stand straight to the best of their ability. Standing straight, standing erect. This is perfect i'tidal. But let's assume that they cannot do it to that level. At least somebody looking at them should not say this person is doing ruku. He should say this person is standing, though standing is not a perfect one. It's not a complete one. So this is what is called al-i'tidal min al-ruku. That is the minimum. The maximum is for one to be erect, to stand erect, for one to stand straight, to stand upright. That is the maximum, and this is what is required. So we should remember the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we have quoted several times, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إن الرجل لا ينصرف وما كتب له إلا عشر صلاته أو تسعها أو ثمنها أو سبعها أو سدسها أو خمسها أو ربعها أو نصفها. So to, according to the hadith, that somebody would finish his salah, but he has called 1 over 10, so to say, or 1 over 9, or 1 over 8, or 1 over 7, or 1 over 6, 1 over 5, 1 over 4, 1 over 3, or half, based on the way he has praised it. And that's why scholars, they always tell us that we should keep to the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sallu kama ra'aytuni usalli, pray the way you see me pray. If you want to pray the best prayer with the biggest reward, just follow the description of the salah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But if you cannot do that perfectly, try to get what we are explaining to be the pillars. Likewise, the wajibat, as we shall explain later, so that you won't lose your salah. One will not be praying and the person is just playing. He will be thinking he's praying, but he's playing because he does not pray the way he should be praying. The way the man was turned back by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now we talked about the man who prayed wrongly. That a man came to the masjid of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as reported by Al-Bukhari, Muslim, and many others. He said, دَخَلَ رَجُلٌ, a man entered. فَصَلَّ, he observed salah. فَصَلَّمَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave taslim to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَرَجَّ, Messenger of Allah returned the taslim. That is, after the man had completed his salah, he was about to go out, he gave taslim to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَرَجَّ, the Messenger of Allah returned the taslim. وَقَالَ إِرْجُوِي فَصَلِّ فَإِنَّكَ لَمْ تُصَلِّ. The Messenger of Allah said, go back and pray, you have not preached. فَرَجَعَ يُصَلِّ كَمَا صَلَّى, the man went back, he prayed the same way he had preached. ثُمَّ جَاءَ فَصَلَّمَ, the man came back again and gave taslim to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَقَالَ إِرْجُوِي فَصَلِّ فَإِنَّكَ لَمْ تُصَلِّ. The Messenger of Allah said, go back and pray, you have not prayed. So this was repeated three times. فقال, the man said, والذي بعثك بالحق ما أرسل غيره فعلمني, I swear by the one who has raised you with the truth, I can't pray better than this. I can't pray better than this. فعلمني, teach me how to pray. You see what the man says? He said, teach me how to pray. Some people, they believe they cannot be taught how to pray. They said this is the way they've been doing it since they were young. This is what we learned from our fathers. And this is the way we've been praying. We've been praying like this before your mother gave birth to you. A Muslim doesn't talk like this. A Muslim is ever ready to learn. You have been doing something for the past 50 years, 60 years, and you have been doing it wrongly. When you see somebody to teach you, even if the person is younger, try to take knowledge. There were some young companions like Abdullah bin Abbas, Abdullah bin Umar, and many others, who people who were older than them learned from them. So the man submitted. He said, ما أحسنُ غير هذا أو ما أحسنُ غيره, I can't pray better than this. I don't know. فعلمني, teach me. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا كُنْتَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ فَتَبْكِي, when you get up to prayer, that's the first pillar. You get up to prayer, فَكَبِّرْ, do Allahu Akbar. We mentioned istiqbal al-qibla, facing the qibla, in one of the reports. He said, فَاسْتَقْبِلِ الْقِبْلَ ثُمَّ كَبِّرْ, face the qibla, then do Allahu Akbar. ثم كرما تيسر معك من القرآن, then read what is convenient of you from the Quran. This we mentioned last week, that the Hanafiya, they use this as evidence that it is not compulsory as a pillar to read Surah Al-Fatiha on everybody, but it's compulsory as ordinary wajib, not as farz, ordinary wajib. When the Hanafiya says something is wajib in Salah, what they mean is that if you don't do it, you are going to be punished. But you have that salah. But you'll be punished for not doing that thing. But your salah is still on. It's still okay. You have passed. But Allah will punish you for not doing that particular thing, salah. This is what the Hanafiya will call wajib when it comes to the issue of salah or other things like that. So, but what is correct is that the citation of Surah Al-Fatiha is a pillar based on the other hadith. لا صلاة لمن لم يقرأ بفاتحة الكتاب. The one who does not recite Surah Al-Fatiha has no salah, except if the person has a genuine reason. Maybe he has just embraced Islam. For somebody who has been Islam for long and she has not learned how to recite Surah Al-Fatiha, such a person isn't a good Muslim. So he has to learn how to recite Surah Al-Fatiha. فعلم فقال إذا كنت إلى الصلاة فكبر ثم اقرأ ما تيسر معك من القرآن ثم اركع then do ركوع after the completion of Surah Al-Fatiha. He didn't say you have to add another surah to it. Huh? So recite Surah Al-Fatiha if that is the only thing you know. No harm. The only thing is that the reward of the one who recites more than Surah Al-Fatiha is bigger than the reward of the one who recites only Surah Al-Fatiha. He said, حَتَّى تَتْمَئِنَّ رَكِعًا until you do ruku with calmness. He mentioned this, that it is what? A pillar to be calm in your ruku. What do you mean by calm? That is, all your bones return to their places, then at least you'll be able to say Subhana Rabbi al-Azim once. At least you'll be able to say Subhana Rabbi al-Azim once. So not that you just do ruku and you raise your head immediately. It is wrong. So the one who does ruku, who allows his palms to touch his knees, and if possible, he stretches his back as we mentioned. But if not possible, at least he allows his palms to touch his knees, the bench, to the extent that his palms are touching his knees at least. Then he is in calm condition. He is in calm condition. He said this person has done ruku and he has also done itminah. Then he said, from marfa, after that raise your edge, hatta ta'tadila qa'iman, until you have stood erect. You have to stretch. Scholars said, as I mentioned earlier, the minimum is that if you cannot stand erect, straight like this, somebody who does like this while standing, they say this is still manageable. But for one to say he's standing and the person is like he's doing ruku, if the person were to put his hands on his knees, his hand will get to his knees, so this is not meant to be standing. So the minimum is if somebody is doing like this, that's the minimum. But the best is for one to stand like this in Salah. This is the best. But the one who bends a bit like this, this is overlooked and is accepted according to majority of the scholars. But the best is not to bend at all. Not to bend your head at all. Stand erect, upright. This is what is required. So that you get the maximum reward of your salah. So Messenger of Allah said, ثُمَّ رْفَعْ, raise your edge, حَتَّى تَعْتَدِلَ قَائِمًا, until you have stood up erect. Until you have stood up erect. That is, you are upright in standing. You are upright in a standing position. So this is also what? A pillar. Some masjid, after that, go to sujood. What do we mean by sujood? Sujood is for you to allow your forehead to touch the ground. And according to what is more correct, you allow your nose to also touch the ground. You allow your head, your forehead, and your nose to touch the ground. You allow your palms to touch the ground, your two palms. You allow your two knees to touch the ground. Likewise, your leg, the toes will also be touching the ground. So the toes, the knees, likewise, the palms, likewise, the head plus the nose, they should all touch the ground. This is the sujood. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Umirtu an asjuda ala sab'ati azumi." I've been commanded to prostrate to do sujood on seven bones. In one of the reports, it pointed to his forehead and the nose. So that was why it was said that la salata li rajul, there is no salah for a man hatta yamassa anfuhu min al-ard ma yamassu jabinu, until his nose touches the ground the way the edge, the forehead touches the ground. So the forehead must touch the ground, the nose must also touch the ground according to the stronger opinion. Then the two palms must be on the ground. So you don't fold your hand like this while you are in ruku. You don't fold the palm. You have to open the palm, place the palm on the ground, on the floor. Your knees must be on the ground. Don't raise one of the knees. Your toes must be on the ground. Don't raise any of the 2 feet. Don't raise any of them. The 2 feet, the toes, must be on the ground. This is sujood. The one who doesn't do sujood like this without a genuine reason in the Sharia has no salah. What do I mean without a genuine reason? For instance, if somebody has one leg, for instance, he doesn't have 2 legs, he has to pray. So maybe the person's leg has been caught, so he only has 1 knee. So what are we going to do? We say what? لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Such a person is overlooked. So we are talking about the person who has 2 knees, the person who has 2 legs, the person who has what? Who has 2 hands. This must touch ground. If it doesn't touch ground, so it's what? It's something that is wrong. The person has no salah. We are still going to talk about some other things that are not pillars. But we are just talking about the pillars. Your salah, you have to take care of it. Then in your sujood, you have to maintain it to calmness. Yes, you take a bit rest. You take a rest a bit, as we mentioned, that will enable you to say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, at least once. If you put your head on the forehead on the ground, your palms on the ground, your knees on the ground, your toes, the toes of your legs, your feet on the ground, then you take a rest a bit in such a way that you can say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la once. You say you have done sujood, at the same time you have done itminan. You have maintained calmness in your sujood. Then it is not okay for you to do sujood. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in authentic hadith, "Intadilu fi sujood." While you are in sujood, also maintain itidal. Sit. That is, when you are in sujood, you do your sujood with what? With affection, with balance. You balance yourself in your sujood. We are of stage. It is also strongly recommended that when you are in sujood, don't place this side, that is your forearm, don't place it on the ground. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wa la yabsut ahadukum zira'ayhi in bisat al-kalim." When you are in sujood, don't place your forearm on the ground the way the dogs do. So some people, while they are in sujood, apart from doing the right thing with respect to placing their forehead, their nose, they also place their arm, their forearm, they place it on the ground like this. So this is wrong. Messenger of Allah said this. You are not anyone who does it as no salah. He has salah, but what he has done is going to affect the reward of his salah. He has to distance the forearm from the ground. It distances it from the ground. So you raise it like this. The palms will be placed like this. The fingers will be facing the Qibla. So the forearm will be raised. The upper arm will be distanced away from his side. Unless it is in Jama'ah, where the stuff is tight. But let's assume he's praying alone. It is sunnah to distance the side from the upper arm from his what? From his head. So we are still going to talk more about this. But just to tell us how to do the sujood. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Tumbarfa, after that razor edge, hatta tetma inna jalisan, until you have seated with calmness, until you have what? You have seated with calmness, or you have sat with calmness. You have to maintain calmness there. Before you watch, you go for the second sujood." Allah said, "Waf'al dhalika fi salatika kulliha." Jesus has taught you, whenever you are praying, do it in all salah. Now, if you look at this that you have explained, you see that there is no saying, maybe you do one particular zikr there. All you have talked about are things that you do with your body, not what you say with your mouth, except Allahu Akbar and the recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha. These are the two pillars. Allahu Akbar. What the reason of the hand rule? The statement. If somebody says Allahu Akbar and he doesn't raise his hand, this does not affect his salah. That is, he has salah, but his reward is reduced. All this is clear. So raising of the hand is something that you do, but it's not the same thing as your ruku. It's not the same thing as your sujood. It's not the same thing as raising your head from ruku, raising your head from sujood. Raising your head from ruku, doing ruku, raising your head from sujood, doing sujood, all is a pillar. But raising your hand at the beginning of the salah or throughout the salah is not compulsory. If you don't do it, your salah is valid, only that you have lost some rewards. But if you do not say Allahu Akbar, you have no salah. If you do not say Allahu Akbar, you have no salah. If you do not pray standing, you have no salah, except if that salah is nafila, or except if you are unable to stand. Like somebody who does not have leg, for instance, or somebody who has an ailment that cannot enable him to stand. All that you have mentioned, if one has a genuine excuse, one may be excused. That is, the obligation of those things may fall for one. Take for instance somebody who is in an aeroplane. Such a person, he can't find way to observe salah, for instance, unless seated. In that case, the obligation of praying standing will fall, will drop from him. He will have to pray seated, because he should not delay the salah till he gets to his destination, unless any time of salah is not going to or elapse. But if the time of salah will elapse, he has to pray seated. So contrary to what some people do, some people, when they go for business trip or they go for Hajj, for instance, so all the way from Lagos airport here till they get to Jeddah, for instance, if it is time of salah, they won't pray. They won't pray until they get to Jeddah. There, and then they will not be combining all the salawat. Maybe they will not observe Zuhr and Asr. They will be observing Zuhr and Asr after they've gotten to Jeddah around Maghrib time. So this is wrong. The one who has understanding of the deen, if you are unable to pray standing, then it drops away from you. You have to pray seated at that time. Yes, pray standing is a pillar, but in this case, you can't help it. There is nowhere you can stand. Unless if you allow, for instance, to pray at the place very close to the toilet of the aeroplane, there is a place there that is spacious that you can pray there. But let's assume that the hostess did not allow you to pray. Are you going to say, "Let me delay the salah till I get to my destination"? No, don't do that. Pray to the best of your ability. Even if you are going to pray, seated. So this is something that is very, very important. You pray, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in knowledge. May He subhanahu wa ta'ala make our feet firm on His path. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ba'd. Adapto fun Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala atoro salatu fun Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Gẹ́gẹ́ bí kàtí abara wa sọ, òun náà ni nípa àwọn kàtí jẹ́ orígun oorun ta gbọ́dọ̀ mójútó, ẹni tí ó ṣe kò ní ru. Àyàfi tí ẹni yẹn bá ní ìdíwọ́ tẹ́sí gbà wọlé, pé ẹni yẹn ó rẹ̀ ẹ́ ní òde kó lè ṣe àwọn nǹkan yẹn àbí kò tí ì máa àwọn nǹkan yẹn, kò rẹ̀ ṣe pé àìmọ́ rẹ̀ níbi àìníkàkún fún nǹkan yẹn. Àbí ẹni yẹn ó jẹ́ ni tó ṣe pé àwọn kẹta ń bẹ nínú àwọn kẹta lè pè ní disabilities,
tó ń bẹ fún irú èyàn bẹ́ẹ̀ tí ó di kó lè ṣe ìdíwọ́ pàtàkì ló lè jẹ́ káwọn nǹkan wọ̀nyí ṣubú fún wa tí ò bá sí ìdíwọ́ pàtàkì ẹni tí ò ṣe kò ní ru ní ọ̀sẹ̀ tó kọjá abára wa sọ̀rọ̀ lórí ọ̀rọ̀ wípé ta bá rúkú a gbọ́dọ̀ farabalẹ̀ ń bẹ́ ta bá tún wá dìde níbi rúkú a tún gbọ́dọ̀ dúró níbi rúkú nígbà tá a dìde níbi rúkú yẹn a dúró ní dúdúó tó ṣe pé ẹ̀yìn ọ̀hún náà dáadáa náà ẹlòmíì ẹni tí ò bá ń dúró kẹ́yìn ẹ̀ dáadáa ń kọ́ tórókóró a dúró tó tẹ̀ díẹ̀ báyìí tí a lè sọ wípé kò tíì dúró ipe tánẹ́bí sọ̀lá asálán tó sọ wípé àtàtà àtẹ́dìlà kọ́ ìmọ̀ wípé kò ti ṣẹlẹ̀ sí ọ̀pọ̀lọpọ̀ wọn àfáà ní àlè fojú foyì fún ṣùgbọ́n kẹ́yìn wá lóhùn dúró ṣùgbọ́n bẹ́ẹ̀ ṣe ń wò ó bí ẹni tó ṣì bẹ̀rẹ̀ náà ni bí ẹni tó rù kú ni bọ́ọ̀lù aṣọ́mọ́mẹ́ni tó rù kú wọ́n ní bí títẹ̀ tó tẹ̀ bàbá wo títẹ̀ ká ní kó na ọwọ́ rẹ̀ tí ọwọ́ rẹ̀ bá lè dé bí orúkún rẹ̀ irú èèyàn bẹ́ẹ̀ á ní ìdúró tó lóhùn dúró yẹn rù kú nìyẹn kò ń ṣe ìdúró so ìta ń pè ní ìdúró ìdúró tó pé oníkẹyìn dúró kí ẹyìn nà dáadáa ó dìde níbi òkú yóò dìde tí ẹyìn rẹ máa nà dáadáa eré ní ìdúró tó pé ṣùgbọ́n ká nípa ènìyàn tẹ̀ díẹ̀ àwọn afáà la ṣì lè fojú fo èèyàn ṣùgbọ́n tó bá ti tẹ̀ púpọ̀ ìdájọ́ kó dúró yóò kúrò fún bẹ́ẹ̀ni ẹnìyẹn gbọ́dọ̀ farabalẹ̀ níbi ìdúró ẹ̀yẹ so ní ìdí a lè fi ṣe bí rọ́bànà lákàlhàm tí ó lè fi ṣe bí rọ́bànà lákàlhàm yóò farabalẹ̀ díẹ̀ so lẹ́yìn yẹn yóò lọ ṣe ìforíkalẹ̀ yóò gbéra láti lọ ṣe ìforíkalẹ̀ lára àwọn kan tí ó da kápá kí èsì sí òun ni pé ẹlòmíì tó bá fẹ́ foríkalẹ̀ ní pàtàkì lọ ẹni tí ó fi ń ṣe imam eléyìí sábà máa ń ṣẹlẹ̀ ẹlòmíì máa ń bá imam dọ́gba ni imam kò ní tí ì lọ forí kalẹ̀ òun gangan fún rẹ tí ń lọ forí kalẹ̀ ẹni tó wá ṣe bẹ́ẹ̀ ò ní ìhun pàtàkì lọ tó wá máa mọ̀ ṣe ṣùgbọ́n tí ò bá máa mọ̀ ṣe kẹ́niyẹn tá a rí padà torí pé à ń forí kalẹ̀ síwájú imam wa ànábọ̀ wa muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam ó ní fàlà tẹ̀síkú ní bẹ́ẹ̀ rọ́kọ́ ìwọ̀ sojúdù ẹ má ṣíwájú mi ṣe rọ́kọ́ ẹ má ṣíwájú mi ṣe sojúdù sọ̀rọ̀ yọ́pẹ̀ ìsanú àwọn sàábé ó ní tí a ní gbà lọ ṣe ìforíkẹlẹ̀ lẹ́yìn àmì àdì nínú ẹ̀fọ́ hàtà yàtọ̀ àjẹbọ àtàwọn àrùtì ó lè yàn kan wá àní ti tẹ̀yìn wá títí sànàbí ẹgbẹ́ orí lélẹ̀ lónìí èèyàn mẹ́rin ló ń ṣe léyìí bí máa mú ṣe ń múra àti lọ ṣe ìforíkalẹ̀ làwọn náà ti gbá tẹ̀lé so kò yẹ kó rí bẹ́ẹ̀ á fara balẹ̀ ara bá rí kó ti borí lélẹ̀ ìyẹn ló dáa jù ṣùgbọ́n tá a bá tiẹ̀ lè ṣe sùúrù yẹn kárí ní kó ti fẹ́ délẹ̀ káwa tó máa gbéra lórí ìdúró kò ń ṣe báwa àti mẹ́mọ́jọ máa fi ga gbága ẹlòmíì yóò ṣíwájú ìmọ̀mù lè pé ẹ̀fẹ́ lè fà á padà lẹ́yìn tẹ̀jọ́ wà ń sá fún pé ooo mọ́mù dáadáa ni ìmọ̀mù yẹ́ṣẹ́ ń lọ ní ìwọ́ ti fẹ́ forí kẹlẹ̀ sọ́rọ́ ètò wá ṣe bẹ́ẹ̀ kò ní o ṣe eléyìí àti èsì tí ó pàtàkì ní bákan náà ìforí kẹlẹ̀ tí a sọ wípé a ṣe tabagbórí nídìí bẹ́ẹ̀ ká níbi ìforí kẹlẹ̀ yìí ká fara balẹ̀ níbẹ̀ wájú wa bákan náà eruku wa méjèèjì imú wa bákan náà àwọn ọmọ nìkẹsẹ̀ wa bákan náà a jẹ́ kí àtẹlẹwọ wa kó kẹlẹ̀ ilé la ń pè ní sujud ó wá dáa púpọ̀ ó dáa púpọ̀ kí a gbé ọwọ́ wa ká gbé e sókè ká mẹ́gbẹ̀ẹ́ lélẹ̀ bí ajá ànábì sọlá sáláńlélẹ̀ yìí ò dá ló ẹni tó bá ṣe àṣọ pé kò ní wo ṣùgbọ́n nǹkan yóò ṣe nǹkan tí ó dá sọ ànábì sọlá sáláńlélẹ̀ sọ fún arákùnrin yẹn pé bí mo ṣe kọ́ ẹ nínú yìí òun ni kò ṣe máa ṣe gẹ́gẹ́ bí àwọn àdìsí tí a kà fúnra wa nígbà tí à ń sọ ní èdè gẹ̀ẹ́sì sọ eléyìí òun ni àwọn nǹkan tí ó jẹ́ orígun ẹ̀sìn tó yẹ orígun ìrún tó yẹ kí a ṣe ní èyí tí ó máa parí ẹ̀ òun náà ni ọ̀rọ̀ tí a ṣe sálámà sọ eléyìí ṣáàlá àmọ́ parí àwọn nǹkan tí ó tún ṣẹ́kù níbẹ̀ níbi àtayá ni àti bẹ́ẹ̀ bẹ́ẹ̀ lọ kí ni ìdájọ́ ẹ̀sìn lórí ẹ̀yìn sọ kí ọlọ́run bá sọ fún ara wọn tààlà kí ó ṣàánú wa àti.